All right, welcome Hope Grown Faith to another Monday Mom Mentor. And this month, I'm so excited to introduce Shauna Lettler, which is not how you thought it was going to be pronounced, right guys? So our Monday Mom Mentors are all about getting inspired and encouraged to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. So I'm really thrilled to have you here, Shauna. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm super thrilled to be here. I am a mom of three boys like you. I'm just a few years ahead of the down the road. My oldest son is 18, so he had to go to the ER earlier this year, and they actually didn't even care if I was there or not because he's technically an adult.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Yeah, they're like, please excuse us while we treat this adult. We don't need you. They didn't actually say that, but it was... I felt. So anyway, I have an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 15-year-old, and they eat a lot of food, and they are driving everywhere, so I'm really not a mom taxi anymore, but they are a joy and a stressor.
I bet.
Yeah, I've been married to Kurt for 23 years, and we live in South Dakota, right in the middle of South Dakota by a very large lake, which we thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah, I bet. That sounds great. Is there anything else you want to tell us about your family?
We love to hunt, fish, swim. Well, I don't love to hunt and fish, but I love that everyone else loves to hunt and fish. We rush off to ball games. And then while everyone else is at work or hunting, I am usually writing. So I have written 3 books, and I write a monthly email article for people who like to subscribe to my email list, and it's kind of how I spend my days.
Yeah, and okay, so tell us a little bit about your books, because they're quite unique, actually. I've never really come across anything that's quite like what you do, so tell us a bit about them.
Okay, well, I never set out to be a writer, but I was at the end of kind of difficult time in life. I was, we were foster parents for 2 very sweet little girls who we loved and adored. So I was a mom of 5, and I don't probably have to tell you that I was stressed out. I just felt like I was failing on every front. I just thought millions of moms in the history of the world have parented 5 children. Why do I feel so needy and so incapable doing this? And I started to just think, you know, maybe there's something really defective about my faith. You know, I pray that these things will work out. I pray for these kids. I pray for my attitude and my patience, and just like failure on every front is how I viewed it. And I started to wonder if there's something defective about my faith. So I went to my Bible, which is what my wonderful mother modeled for me. And I just started to look at the people whose faith Jesus commented on. And what I discovered was that they were all needy and afflicted, and we don't know any of their names. And I found that a fascinating concept. And so I just started looking into it and thinking about their stories. And I decided I wanted to retell those stories to myself. I'd kind of had a moment at my computer studying a Bible story, and the Lord just kind of gave me, I don't know, I call it a moment. I don't know what else to call it. Gave me a moment.
Yeah.
And, I just retold this Bible story to myself. And when I was done, I thought, wow, that felt like worship. And I wanted to do that again. So I took each of these stories where there's an unnamed person whose faith Jesus remarked about. And I retold their stories to myself first. And I put them in a collection, and they became a book called Remarkable Faith. Because I thought it was interesting. Jesus remarked about their faith. So that is how I started writing. So each of my books is Bible stories that read like short stories. Remarkable Faith is about people whose faith Jesus commented on. Remarkable Hope is about people who were disappointed with Jesus at first, but he revived their hope.
Wow.
And Remarkable Advent is the story of the first Christmas retold one day at a time. So that's my book.
Yeah, there was somebody that was raving about your book the other day in our Facebook group. So they
Awesome.
already know a little bit about at least Remarkable Advent, because you had offered that for free a few years ago, and I printed off like the whole
I had
beautiful
several friends
detail.
that did that. Well, it's all in a nice little compact paperback now, so you don't have to ruin your printer in the process.
That's right. Yeah, it's probably a lot cheaper just to buy the book than to print it all off.
Probably.
Yeah, and yeah, it's beautiful. I love the way that you weave in the story, because there's something about story, like you had said, like the storytelling, story reading often can feel like worship when it's about Jesus. Even when if it's not directly about Jesus, it can feel like worship.
Totally
So
agree.
I love that it came out of something that you were doing for yourself, something that you needed for yourself.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So let's talk about Christmas.
Okay,
Some
let's do
people's
it.
favorite time of the year. Not
Yeah.
traditionally mine. I worked at a church for a long time, and so Christmas was always a time of high expectations and a lot of work. So I feel like I'm coming back from that. So I'm here to listen to you. Yeah, taking all the ideas if you have any. So I want to know, what are some ways that you personally have tried to focus on Jesus at Christmas? And feel free to tell us about things that did work and also about things you were like, wow, that just made me more stressed out.
Yeah. I was trying to think about what did work and what didn't work. I'll tell you, for many years I did nothing and that didn't work.
Oh, good to know.
It did not work to keep Christ in Christmas. Isn't entirely true, but for many years I just did nothing because I didn't have the bandwidth to do it. Maybe a lot of your ladies in this group are mom of five kids, and I salute you. It is a ton of work, and especially in those little years. So, first of all, just give yourself some grace. And if you can't do anything, and you just don't have the pizzazz, give yourself some grace. And if you feel really convicted about it, ask the Lord for the energy and the plan. And He is gracious and merciful, and He will lavish on you exactly what you need. And it just be. You might just need a little bit, or you might just need grace for this year. So, anyway, personally, here was kind of my wake-up call. When my boys were little, about October, our mailbox would just be flooded with catalogs, toy and all this weird junk. And we live about 15 miles from their school, so every day we had to drive back and forth. So all those catalogs would accumulate in my minivan, and they would read them on the way there and the way back. And one day they each brought to me a very long and annotated list of Christmas items, which partially I was grateful for because I'm a really terrible gift giver. I always need ideas. And so I was thankful for them, but my one son had, it was like 7 pages, and he had bound it with scotch tape. And starred the things that were really important and made an annotated page number, bicycle on page 200. And so I just thought, wow, we might need to reorient a little bit. So that's kind of what got me started. The book, the Christmas list book that I received from my son. And I just thought, I can't lead them to focus on Christ if I'm not doing it myself. So, a year prior, I had tried blogging for 31 days about the Christmas story. There used to be this 31 write for 31 days challenge. Maybe you remember who started that, Christy. I can't think of it right now. Was it Lisa Jo Baker or somebody?
I don't know.
Kind of a challenge. Anyway, I tried to do it, and I stalled out on day 8. So
Lasted
someone
longer than I
came.
probably would have. I would have been like 2 days.
I know it was a big challenge. So the next year I tried again, but this time I said, you know what? I might not do this every day, but I am going to do it 31 days if it takes me 9 days. And that's just kind of had to. That's how I have started approaching all these things in my life. When I tend to go, oh, I'm going to go for 8 days, or I'm going to go for 31 days, and then I miss on day 9 and I throw the whole thing out like I did. That's kind of where my personality lends itself or tends towards. But it's not a good way to function. I don't recommend it. So anyway, I started retelling the Bible story, the Christmas story to myself just through a blog. And that really, that was really meaningful to me personally. The next year I tried to continue the series and, I started getting emails from people saying, thank you so much. I'd never thought about that. I'm really enjoying this. Hmm. And I thought, well, I guess I'm not the only one who enjoys this. So I continued on and I had worked ahead a little bit and I went till December 24th. And on that day I wrote the post or whatever. And I remember thinking, probably no one is reading this. I mean, it's Christmas Eve. Let's just be real. Well, that next Sunday at church, a man in my church said to me, how did you do that? He said, I read the whole thing, all of your posts on Christmas Day. And I was like,
wow.
I know. Because like a man at my church wasn't necessarily my target audience. I didn't know. Target audience, you know? So those things kind of piled up in my head. And the next year I revisited it and I added kind of a nonfiction reflection. So just that's how I kind of nurtured my own spiritual life. In the meantime, or at the same time, I should say, I was trying to point my boys towards keeping Christ in Christmas too. So that is kind of how I nurtured my own self first. And then I just kind of drew from that what I could give to my boys. And it varied year to year. So anyway, what didn't work was doing it, you know, saying, oh, you have to do it every day. And if you don't do it, you just have to quit. But what did work was doing what I could when I could. Mm-hmm. And then as far as what I did to try and keep my boys focused in the right direction, I had a couple of, you know, we've done different things over the years. We had a flannel advent calendar that someone made for us. Mm-hmm. That was really hands-on. And so each day they took a little flannel figure out of a pocket and put it on the tree, on a little flannel tree. And that was really fun. And I don't know, there was a little reading each day. It was maybe 50 words, you know, just a tiny little paragraph. And I don't know how much they remembered, but I think the consistency was the key. And the nice thing about that was if we missed a couple days, they would remind me.
Yes, because they enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, they loved it. Whose turn is it to, you know, oh, it's mine. No, it's my turn. You did it yesterday, you know, how all that. But it was something that they looked forward to. And what I found for myself and for my boys is that whatever we do, it has to be enjoyable and mm-hmm. it has to be doable. Because if we don't enjoy it, we're not going to remind each other to do it. Mm-mm. Not doable. It's just too big of a task. So the daily hands-on, put the thing on the advent calendar was something that we did early on. Mm-hmm. The next thing that we tried as they got a little bit older was the Jesus Storybook Bible, which I'm sure you are all familiar with. Maybe you guys have talked about this, about it the first 24 days. I don't know if you've talked about that in your group, but if you start, the Jesus Storybook Bible, if you start with the first story on December 1st, you will finish the last installment of the Christmas story on December 24th.
What?
Oh, I know. And I don't know if the publishers intended that or if it was just one of those beautiful things that God worked out. Mm-hmm. We did that for several years, and this is one of my all-time favorite things because it speaks to kids but it ministers to adults. Mm-hmm. A Bible teacher that has helped me in my own Bible teaching told me, if you teach to children, you get the adults, but if you teach to adults, you lose the children. And I think this book is just a prime example of Sally Lloyd-Jones wrote, I believe, like to her two little nieces. Okay. And she just pointed so beautifully towards God's grace in every story throughout the Old Testament. And it ministers to all of us because it reaches children and it's simple enough for all of us. So this is probably my go-to. One story specifically for children. First 24 days, you'll end with a Christmas story. So mm-hmm. that's my favorite thing. As they got older, they would not indulge me.
You will let you read children's Bible anymore.
I know. But so we've done some other things. we have listened to a short 2 and 3 minute podcast that was devoted to Advent, which I think is still available. John Piper wrote his podcast is called Solid Joys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was trying to think about, you know, what have I enjoyed or what has worked for us? And it's always something that makes me think or something that gives a new insight. And a couple of things that John Piper had said in those podcasts that just were so mind-bending for me. He had this quote and he said, God wielded an empire to move 2 people 70 miles.
Wow.
And I know it's just, it's kind of almost breathtaking, but when you think of God's commitment to fulfilling his word and the lengths that he will go to do what he says he will do, mm-hmm. It's kind of breathtaking. And so just anything that makes me think or shows me something about God in a fresh way, I just always enjoy that. So that's what we've done last year. This was so weird, but I did read my own book to my boys, and we didn't get all the way through it. It's so weird when your kids start driving. Got study group at 7 at night, and so someone's always missing at night, or they got prayer breakfast in the morning, so someone's always missing in the morning, and it's just really hard to find time when everyone is together. And so we didn't do it every day, and we didn't finish, but
you can finish it this year.
We may finish it this year.
Pick up on day 20.
Yeah, but that's just the kind of thing that I don't want to apologize for, and I don't want anyone to feel bad about, because you do what you can when you can, and we're just called to faithfulness. We're not called to, you know, perfect rigidity.
Yeah, exactly.
So do what you're called to do and just faithfully obey the Lord and whatever he's given you time and resources to do. So
I love that idea that it's just, it's not all or nothing. Like it's something. There's a blogger that I follow that writes about exercise, and she's like, something is better than nothing.
Always.
Like getting up and walking around the house for 5 minutes is better than staying in your chair for those 5 minutes. Something is better than nothing. So we're doing, even if we don't finish the book, it's okay. Like you can finish in January too. That's nobody said
totally.
Or if you don't finish it at all, that's okay. Something is better than nothing. And also what you said about it being enjoyable and doable. Yep. If it's not fun, if your kids hate it, then why would you do it?
Everybody's going to hate it.
Exactly. Then, like, I don't understand why we would want to make faith into that kind of a feeling for them. So every time we pick up the Bible, they're like, maybe we should try something else, right?
You know, and when you mentioned storytelling earlier, that's why with Remarkable Advent, I wanted, actually with all of my books, I wanted it to read like a story. Mm-hmm. Philip Yancey has this great quote where he said, I'm probably going to butcher it, but he said something, you know, it's one thing to tell of the endless, boundless love of God and to try and describe it. But it's another thing altogether to tell of a story of a man who laid down his life, friends. And so you feel the impact there. You can talk about it. You can tell a story about it. And I don't know about you, Christy, but I always remember stories before I remember facts. I think about sermons I sat through all through my life. And I have, no idea what the whole sermon was about, but the pastor told one story that I remember, you know. So
hopefully it was a relevant one.
It was relevant to the topic. I have no idea what the topic was, but I remember the story. So, and I think that's why Jesus used stories too, just because our brains are just so geared for the resolution.
Well, and there's like been studies done recently that show that like stories are like the back door to your brain and to your heart. Yeah. Like story is not a subpar way of sharing information.
Agreed.
It is like a sneaky way.
It's powerful.
It is super powerful. Yeah. That's why I really love fiction, and that's why I really appreciate the way that you've written your books. I think it's very cool. That reminds me, I wanted to read your books to my older kids, actually. I think they would really like them.
Good. My boys have read all of my boys have read my first 2 books on their own. So,
cool.
The reading level should be okay for 13-year-olds. I think that's when they read them, so.
Yeah, I bet. And I think that's the kind of thing that I could give to my kids.
and they would do. So we got this book in the mail the other day from someone who wanted me to review it. And I was like, this is well written, but it's a journal and it's asking you to write all this stuff. And I'm like, my boys are never going to use that.
Yeah.
But this, yeah. A story. I remember getting devotionals that were like stories. I think it was like an angel in my backpack or something. My parents gave me those and I would just read them all in one day. And I still remember some of the lessons I learned from those because they were stories. I'm sure I was supposed to read like one per day, but
yeah.
So there's something about story. It engages our interest. It makes it fun.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. God made it like that, right?
So, I know. Hey, Jesus used story for the same reason. So.
So is there anything else that you, just let me go back for a sec. Oh yeah. You also had said something about just drawing on what was working for you. And I think that's so powerful for us as moms. Sometimes we're like, we want to make a lesson for our kids and make sure that they know the meaning of Christmas. But if we are not engaged in that and we don't know the meaning of Christmas and we're not, you know, we're rushing around trying to get presents for everybody and feeling super stressed about hosting Christmas parties, then they're not going to get that either because they kind of absorb
what
we're doing and our values. So when you started blogging about that and encountering the Christmas story deeper and encountering Jesus through that, then that flowed out to your kids, probably in ways that you'll never even really know.
I think so. Definitely in ways that I won't know. I remember what you're saying is more is caught than taught, you know, saying, I think about, you know, when my boys were little, just being amped up about trying to get the house clean and now we're going to make sugar cookies, but stop throwing sugar on the floor. You know? It's like, this is not fun. If I have, you know, many moms are much better about that kind of thing than I am. I am certainly no poster child for any sort of Mary Poppins type of mom. But anyway, my point was, we were walking out the door in one of those busy holiday seasons. And I remember my oldest son turned around, and he was 5 or 6, and he says to his little brothers, "The most important thing is that the house is clean." And I was like, what? I don't ever remember saying that, but I was, you know, I must have so clearly communicated that with just my angst and my, anyway, more is caught than taught. And if it becomes an unenjoyable stressor, it might just be time to take a breather.
Mm-hmm. Try something else. Act out the Bible story. That's what I like whenever we get stressed out. Or like, you guys are going crazy. Okay, let's just act this out. Or let's stand up and shout our verses from the, you know, from our children. Or
like, are your kids into Legos, Christy?
They are. Yeah, building stuff out of Legos too.
Yes. So one year we did, it was actually on Thanksgiving, but I had them build a manger scene out of Legos. Ooh. And they just did a great job. I'm sure there are patterns out there, but your kids probably enjoy doing it.
Make your own thing.
Yeah, make your own thing. Two yellow Legos makes a camel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we were doing the Armor of God a while back, and I said, okay, let's go downstairs and let's figure out a way to make some helmets and like a helmet of salvation. And I was expecting us to find some boxes and make some cool helmets and, you know, cover them with tinfoil. And instead they just put these like, you know, those little foamy kid couches. They were like putting those on their heads and being like, this is my Armor of God. One kid put like a poop hat on his head. I was like, this is the Armor of God. Like,
that'll work.
You know what? That's hilarious. And that's hilarious. Sure, that's the helmet of salvation. It's a poop hat today. But it was fun. It was memorable. I'm sure memorable for me anyway, probably.
For sure.
Too. Yeah. And if I had been like, no, we have to do it my way.
I know.
I'm sure that it would have just been a grouch off.
Yeah. Yep. Goes downhill from there.
Yep. Exactly. Well, thanks so much for sharing some of the things that have worked with you, and your family, and your insights about, you know, it's not all or nothing, and give yourself grace and make sure you're connecting with God too. Is there anything else that you would say to a mom who is kind of stressed out about Christmas and wanting her kids to know about Jesus, but not wanting it to be like, okay, sit down, be quiet, time to learn?
Yeah. I think what I had to learn to do is just to view our, you know, imparting what you know about Jesus to your kids, view it as the steady drip of an IV than a seasonal dumping. You know, like you won't just dump everything they need to know about God into their lives at Christmas or at Easter. It will just be the steady drip of a 4-minute Bible story when you can, 3 times a week. It will be the steady drip of praying before meals most days. It'll be the steady drip of calling on God out loud when your vehicle slips on the road. You know, I think the most effective thing is just demonstrating your walk with Jesus in front of your kids, not in an artificial way, but just in a real way. My son last night brought home, he shot a paddlefish, which, like I said, we're in the hunting and fishing, but paddlefish, they have this huge, I don't know, paddle. It's about
like a platypus.
I don't know. It's long. It's about 2 feet long. You'll have to Google it. Somebody put a link.
Paddlefish must know.
The paddlefish. So anyway, you know, instead of to preserve the animal or commemorate your whatever fishing trip, they will take the paddle and I don't know how to say this, but mount it or, you know, display the paddle. And what it is the most beautiful, intricate web of cartilage. You would guess it came from a fish. And so when I see stuff like that, when I'm talking about the steady drip of imparting faith, I look at that and I go, can you believe God designed that? Mm-hmm. You know, there, God designed an intricate web of cartilage that looks strikingly similar to lace.
Wow. And
inside the nose of a paddlefish that no one will ever see unless the fish dies and we hang it on the wall.
Yeah.
Just, wow. That's random and weird, but this, when I think of this, you know, how to pass on our faith, I think it just more comes from the daily instead of living your relationship with Christ in front of your kids.
Yeah, I completely agree.
No one.
Yep, no that's one. Great. And that makes it totally doable, because there was a long time where I thought, you know what, I had to be like a homeschool mom. I mean, I am now, but it wasn't before. And it's not that it's changed that much being a homeschool mom, right? Like, you don't have to be at home with your kids all day to be sharing your faith with your kids. It's,
yeah. And my kids,
school doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I didn't homeschool my kids and they all went to public school. And you know, we are responsible for faithfulness before God to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but we are not responsible for their choices. They're responsible for they must each decide to bow their own knee to Jesus. And it happens at various times in various people's lives. So we trust God with the outcome and we faithfully do what he's put in front of us.
Absolutely. Yep. That's one of our big values here at Hope Grown Faith, that we are confident that God is calling our kids and he loves our kids more than we do. So we have to be true to our calling to share him with our kids. But like you said, we are not responsible for the outcomes. God is. And that actually takes a huge weight off our shoulders. Like,
absolutely.
I don't have to force my kids to be Christians.
I know.
And I love that visual of the drip, because you just think little drip consistently can fill up a bathtub, can fill up a pool. Yeah. Like that's, it can be an enormous amount of water over a lifetime.
Yeah. That's huge.
Well, thanks so much, Shauna, for coming. Do you want to just tell us where we can find you online before we close?
Yes. I'll tell you, the easiest way to find me online is just to go to remarkableadvent.com. Mm-hmm. That is way easier than trying to spell my last name or my first name for that matter. But remarkableadvent.com will get you to my website, and you can find all my social links on Facebook and Instagram and such if you like to connect in those places. And then also, if you are kind of looking for something to do with your family and Remarkable Advent and the stories there sound interesting, you can actually get a 4-day free sample at remarkableadvent.com. And it'll just download your computer and you'll have it tonight or for this afternoon or whatever when your kids are around. So you can get the first 4 days that way.
Yeah. I love that we can read that with our kids too. Sometimes these Advent things can be quite heady and like way over their heads.
And just a little disclaimer on that, you know, I didn't write it for kids. Mm-hmm. I was writing it to myself and a few friends. And so I didn't exactly write it to kids. So there, you know, I just want to put that qualify in there. We just do talk about labor, Elizabeth.
Okay.
And, you know, just, you know, a little, you should definitely check it out yourself before.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, unless you really very specifically define what a virgin is, I think we're
okay. I did not. No, I didn't.
We're good. All right. Good to know. Okay. So remarkableadvent.com. That's great.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much for coming.
Well, I'm thrilled to visit with you, and I hope you all have a very merry Christmas and Advent season.
I'm sure we will. Thank you. Okay, here we go. I turned off the live stream and I'm good.